Netcasting from Chicago, Los Angeles, and Sydney. You're listening to this week's FX Podcast from FXGuide.com.
Hi, and welcome to this week's FX Podcast. I'm John Montgomery, and we're being invaded by the Aussies, I have to say.
Hello.
I'm here in Chicago with Rose Draper and Tal Naran. Tal, how are you guys doing today?
Very well, thank you, John.
And joined on the line also in the United States, Los Angeles, Mike. You just arrived. How's the jet lag treating you?
But I'm in the tech bunker. No, it's good, man. I'm in the tech bunker. I'm in heaven. Like any day that I get to sit down quietly without the phone ringing with a couple of HD TiVos at our Entourage home in Los Angeles, Jeff Hughes's domain of power. It's a happy day for me.
So everyone's here, descending here to head to NAB next week, and of course FX Guide will be having those daily podcasts that everyone liked last year, the roundtable discussions about what we saw that was cool on the show floor, and we'll be talking a little bit about that later. But this is also, I believe it this week almost, the 1 year anniversary of the announcement of FX PhD. Woo! Sorry, I'll give it a woo.
Party like it's 1999. Why they got to update that song? And it's can't believe it's a year. I honestly can't believe it's a year. And so this week we thought, rather than our normal interview thing, because we'll have a lot of those next week, as John mentioned from NAB, we'd take a moment in our 72nd podcast here at FX Guide to do a bit of a recap of what happened over the last year with FX PhD and what's about to happen with FX PhD moving forward.
Now, 77 podcasts, that's also impressive, not just the year of PhD, but the 77 podcasts. And how many homepage stories?
I worked that out. It was, I counted, actually, I think it's second podcast, and it's we've done 416 major stories, and we've got the next four already written, ready to roll out. So it's been a while since we first started FX Guide.
Yeah, I'm getting the impression.
I want to thank everybody.
That's right. I'm getting the impression you're sitting there with the statistics page open, Mike, and kind of going through the pie charts. And sort of
like John made a very clever new, I don't know what it was, some kind of Python PHP, the I don't know what thing, that produces really pretty pictures for me.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool stats on the podcast as well that we kind of broke out to see how many people were listening. And we found out actually some really interesting things about our podcasts. And while we have a lot of people who listen to them right when they come out, that's actually not all the time that people listen to them. It's pretty interesting. Actually,
it's a phenomenal thing. But it's just so, you know, this thing about new media, right? Like, it just takes you a while to get your head around it. And we're in the thick of it, right? And yet still, I was sort of thinking, well, when something came out is when most people are going to watch it or listen to it. What I didn't count on is that obviously when something's on the internet, people just search it, Google it, whatever, and it comes up. So in any one week, while a lot of people are listening to the podcast, for example, this week a lot of people are listening to this one, three times as many are downloading one of the other podcasts, one of the other 70-odd podcasts we've done. So the numbers listening to FX Guide's podcast in any one week is actually phenomenal and really pretty pretty daunting, actually. For example, anything you say now, Rose, will probably be listened to for the next several years.
I think that's a bit scary, actually, Mike.
Well, yeah, don't say anything too embarrassing then.
Try. But they're great reference. I think that's what's happening. You know, you go back to them again and again. They're great for reference.
Yeah, I actually remember.
Yeah, well, I mean,
my favorite.
Go on.
Slightly embarrassing moment, whole, I would think.
You're going to do that whole houseboy thing, aren't you, with the pool?
Yeah. Oh, actually, yeah, you know the story too well of me listening to one of our first podcasts when we were in Colorado on vacation. I actually set up the first podcast, I think, when we were in the mountains, right? I think I was on vacation, and we were trying to roll them out. And I remember wrapping my iPod Shuffle in some plastic and just floating in the pool listening to the Batman podcast. So, again, I've probably said too much.
We've been steadily improving the quality of them over time. So we've definitely been vastly improving the production values of them. And that's something that we're actually doing. I'm segueing, but there you go. This is something that we're actually doing with both FX Guide and FXP HD moving forward.
Ooh,
because
I just
up until this point...
Unpack the camera today.
Yes, really? You got
it? Yeah.
Drool. Tell us about the camera.
We are actually... I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it was a very nice one, the Panasonic HVX200s, the HD camera. We got a really cool offboard FireWire recorder that will record a DVC Pro HD. So for our interviews and so forth on FXPHD and in the future, maybe FX Guide as well, we're actually going to be acquiring things in high definition for distribution. Not that the content of the interviews on FXPHD has been lacking in any way, but we've been basically doing them in PAL res and deinterlacing them and ended up, looking pretty not high-end, I guess, in the end.
I guess when we started, and this is only a year ago, right? When we were starting a year ago, there really were more concerns about download bandwidth, whether or not the BitTorrent would work, all this kind of stuff. And so when we were starting out, we're thinking, well, you know, how big do these things need to be? It's video on the internet. A VCast should be, I don't know, 320 by something. And, of course, now here we are a year later. And, yes, we're moving all of our production, both in the in our American offices and in our Australian studios, over to full HD production. And certainly in Australia, we've got all sorts of clever things now. We've got dollies and new Kinoflow lighting setups and all. Oh, it's all very, very snazzy. So, in that 1 year that PhD's been going, we've already, lifted the game a lot.
I think it's amazing, Mike, that I remember years ago when you and I first worked together, it must have been 2000, 2001, you used to run a production company in Sydney that was all HD-based, and people were going, oh, you're crazy doing everything in HD, and it was like some sort of far-off distant star to do HD mastering, and now we're distributing material on the web in HD. And that's, only in a matter of
years. Yeah, it's pretty awesome, isn't it?
Yeah.
That was some nice work you did back then, by the way, dude. Oh. I really like that. Thanks for that.
Anyway, moving on. Moving on.
You're a master shake compositor.
I wouldn't call myself
a master. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. That was sometime in the distant past when I was doing 3D, but it was great. I mean, that's the thing. I think it's interesting now that it's become the norm to distribute material, at least at sort of, standard PAL or NTSC, but, people are more and more requesting the sort of material they're going to be working with in feature film and long form and stuff like that. And so everything has to be HD, and it's after doing, I know personally that most of the jobs I'm doing nowadays, even if we're doing a standard definition broadcast finish, everything's getting mastered in HD, and it'd be like a bad representation if we didn't do all our work in HD and try and,
I mean, I should add that we've been always producing the training materials that people get to download in 35mm or HD. I mean, and in a second, I'd like to look back over those shoots for the last year. But what we're talking about is not now the acquisition of stuff for shots, which has always been very high res. What we're talking about is just everyday interviews. So if we've got an interview between John and a production designer or whatever, we used to shoot those at standard def because it was just effectively an interview. And now even those will be done in high def. And we'll be having more hookups between Sydney and Chicago, and I mean, generally just lifting the production values. As we have been lifting the production values, I think, in FX Guide with the podcasts and stuff and improving the sound quality and producing more regular schedules. I mean, certainly in FX Guide, we were trying to do them every kind of week, but I noticed that in the last 3 months, we've done just as many podcasts because they've been regular as we did in the previous 5 months. So we've really tightened up the production schedules. We've tightened up the producing, we've tightened up a whole lot of things. And so hopefully that's something that people are responding to. Because it's been quite a lot of work.
Yeah, it is. It is weekly and scheduling and getting it done. But I think it shows in the numbers that you talked about earlier, the kind of people who are finding the FX Guide podcast and downloading them and listening to them. I think it's a lot of fun. We're actually getting smarter too via our experience of FXPHD as well, right? Getting a little more savvy in what we can get out and what we can distribute.
Oh, totally. One thing I was going to mention, though, is just in looking back at what we've done in FXPHD over the last year, because as we said, this being the one-year anniversary almost exactly, it's really interesting because we started out with a notion of having a substantial ad budget, and we thought that it would be a good idea to put ads around the net and stuff. And pretty quickly, we decided that it was actually a better idea to spend our ad budget and then some on producing better and better shoots to provide better and better material for the professors to use for training. And so, and I think it's been working because the numbers have been growing and it's been, people have been responding to it, but it's been much more of a community-based word of mouth approach than just sort of buying banner ads right, left and center. For example, when we first started out, our first shoot was a 35mm green screen shoot, and it was great, but it was just like effectively a couple of shots. It was a relatively small shoot, quite contained, one actress. The next shoot that I've just been in Sydney doing pre-production shoot days on, we had a whole shoot day of just testing pipelines. And that was with the Viper camera, going to the Venom pack, and also to SR decks and to codecs and stuff. And that was a whole day of shooting, none of which we're going to use, just in preparation for the three-day zombie shoot that we've got happening when I get back. And it just, I mean, that's another one of these cases of moving rapidly from, you know, a relatively moderate shoot right up to quite a substantial shoot for three days.
Yeah, that's really grown, and we were kind of learning more and more what we can push the limits of the technology and distributing that stuff, because we really, via the torrent, kind of like distribute terabytes of data during the term. I mean, it's incredible. We actually didn't honestly know that we could get that much material out there to people and effectively.
Yeah.
And
it's gone bandwidth crazy.
Taxing. Yeah,
it's like, I'm guessing that the internet service provider that we're with must really love us, because we must be pumping out a lot of material, like in terms of numbers.
Well, yeah, and thanks to students who are helping with the BitTorrent, though, a few of them got thrown off their service providers in their job.
Yeah. The people are like, oh, can we have the downloads for another month? Because I just got totally shut off by going back to my bandwidth allotment for the month because of re-uploading.
That's torturous too, you know. Like, you get locked out and sometimes you have to wait a week or two before you can actually download the big stuff. It's torture.
You've lived a week or two without internet?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I have two separate internet accounts. If one of my service providers goes down, I have a complete 100% backup. Like, doing FX PhD and FX Guide, there's just no way we can't. But hey, let's talk about looking forward, what's coming up in this new term, because the new term is about to start. This is what we call O Week. And starting now, and certainly the lessons start primarily next week, we have an exciting new term. John, why don't you give us a rundown of what the new term holds?
Well, we've got a total of 16 classes with 9 new courses, actually, that we have offered, anything from After Effects, Final Cut Pro, an Introduction to Flame class, an entry-level Flame class, which I think is going to be quite interesting. You really don't have anything else anywhere.
This is like for the first time, anywhere. I've never seen Intro to Flame anything ever.
Great.
Yeah, I mean, I remember trying to learn Flame when I was just, and trying to find a resource. And
I remember learning Flame with the manuals, and it's not a pleasant experience. It's, you know, like Discrete have done really well to try and, Autodesk have done really well to try and put training material out there. But just to sit down and learn an application as unique and as complicated as Flame through a manual is really, I found it incredibly difficult.
And the manual is now, what, 3, like 500 page volumes or something like that? I just saw the like most recent manual. I'm like, there's no way I'd ever read through that thing.
Yeah, so it's amazing.
Yeah, who reads manuals?
Exactly. I think, like, I know that this is something that there were a lot of requests for, and I think, you know, it's like, even though I've used Flame a fair bit and I feel kind of comfortable with it, I know that I'll definitely be watching this one, just because having been self-taught, it's be really amazing to see how someone else approaches basic tasks in Flame.
Yeah, I think that's
now,
great.
In addition to Tal's Shake classes and the Flame classes, he's also doing a Roto class. Do you want to tell us about that, Tal?
Yeah. Once again, this is something that really came out of what people were requesting. So we've put together a class which is not so much application-based. It's more conceptually based and technique-based about what I like to call Roto prep. And a lot of the bigger companies have their own unique departments for doing Roto prep. And a lot of people in production who are either coming in at entry level or junior positions are going to find themselves doing a lot of roto prep. So it's sort of a class which is designed to look at the most common and most sort of necessary tasks in preparing plates for compositing. So a lot of the other classes we do, integration and keying and matte painting integration and CGI and stuff like that. But this is all about preparing plates for those, you know, for use as background and for those bigger composites. So it's not just roto splining and things like that. It's also going to be like wire removal and marker removal and cleaning up things in shots that aren't supposed to be there and some basic paint stuff and just a whole host of things. So there'll be myself and another Mark Drascoli will be doing some of the stuff. We're also going to have a VPN version of Silhouette available for the students because they've got a fantastic Roto Paint package there. But it's not all going to be in Silhouette. It's not all going to be in Shake. I might actually dip into a bunch of other packages and show, you know.
Well, in fact, I did the first class for you, and that was actually using Flame to teach some of the principles.
There we go.
So,
and look, I might.
What do you call it, John? Agnostic?
Agnostic. Application agnostic. Yeah.
So, I love that expression, man. I can't say it, but yeah.
Yeah, and I might dip into Combustion as well, because I know that a lot of large studios are using Combustion as part of their Roto Prep tool, and it's something that I have used as a Roto Prep tool because it's a fantastic and affordable way to do it. And also, I mean, with the introduction of Ion's got this new package, which the name escapes me right now. It's Rotation. Rotation is the new package. So that what it seems to be happening is with things like Silhouette and Rotation, vendors are sort of acknowledging that this is a specific task which, you know, they need to have things out there for. So the aim is to make it as software agnostic as possible. And just focus on the techniques. So it should be fun.
And Tal, we've got some really cool material for you to work with, because on about the 25th of this month, in other words, right after NAB, we're going to have a stunt shoot in Sydney where we're shooting in a studio with a bunch of stunt guys, which will actually populate the oil rig shot, the multi-pass Genesis motion control shoot we did. But we've basically got a bunch of guys in hard hats and overalls being blown up, thrown off things and falling. And so that'll be some really, really great source material we'll be able to give you guys for Roto.
It's really cool, too. The Roto class kind of fits into kind of an enhanced thing that we're doing this term is to, in addition to the application-based training, is to get into things that are transcend applications. Roto's a great example. I mean, Tal, you just talked about Flame and Shake and Combustion and Silhouette effects, of course, but we've also got a couple other classes that are really just targeted towards the craft and the art, and that's a class on matte painting and also character drawing development, which I think are just going to be brilliant. Mike, you've seen actually some of the matte painting classes already.
Well, actually, I have the unique role of being the voice of the matte painting classes. I'm not actually doing the matte painting classes, but one of the great things about FX PhD is it's a global community. And so we've actually picking up on the work of a guy called Sulej. What's his nickname anyway? I can't pronounce his full name properly, and Jimmy can. But Jimmy, our guy who manages our Asian operations, is translating those courses. I'm actually doing the voiceover work. So I'm his voice in English. Of course, if you're getting the classes in Mandarin, you can hear the original version. And so I have the great honor of being able to go through those classes meticulously as I follow what he's doing. And then, of course, work on the translation. And they're just absolutely brilliant because they're covering not only the theory of it, but, you know, his approach to it and, of course, the practical application. So, for example, in the first class, he gives an example of concept art, and he really approaches these matte painting and concept art like it's 3D. So he's like, well, we need to first model, then we need to color, then we need to texture, and then we need to light. And just watching him do it, it just seems effortless. And yet, there's just so much there to be learned. So, and Rose, you'd love it because, of course, it's Photoshop that it's the tool that you could use for this. As much as, I mean, obviously any other, but it really is just, he's not actually using that many tools in Photoshop. I think that's, I don't know if you found that, Rose, but a lot of people that do concept art and stuff don't use a lot of different tools. It's not like they're using like 50 layers. In this first example, I think he uses only 2 layers and about 4 brushes.
Well, I
but
think
it's
that's
just
right.
Brilliant work.
I think that's right. That's very true. I mean, I've been using Photoshop for a very long time and I've never sort of come across anyone who uses it in the same way. And it doesn't really matter how you get the job done, as long as you get it done, and it doesn't need to be complicated. So, yeah, I found that as well. I think that's great. It's really encouraging because it's about the creation rather than the technique and the technical.
Hey, tell us about your CS3 class in Photoshop coming up.
Yeah, this term we've got the new application, Photoshop CS3, and I've been looking at it, and we're also looking at Extended. So there's 2 different versions. And they're both really interesting. I mean, Photoshop is a huge application. So the last couple of terms at FX PhD, I've been focusing on developing the craft. So not just the tools of Photoshop, but conceptual development and how to actually take an idea from a concept through to finished using the tools. So it's it kind of stretches creative muscles as well as the technical muscles, which I think is really important. But this time I think we're going to be looking just solely at the software because it's so huge. And I think it'll be good fun. You know, I'll try and put some conceptual stuff in there as well, but I actually think, to be honest, there's so many goodies to look at that, yeah, we'll just sort of get caught up and bury ourselves in the software.
We'll also be another doing sort of a little bit of coverage on the CS3 version of After Effects as well in Mark Christensen's class. It's not going to be focused on that per se, but that public beta comes out, I believe it's scheduled to come out next Monday, so we'll be taking a look at that as well in the After Effects class. Sorry, Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, another class that's sort of related, but again, it's this duality of having courses in FX PhD that are both, you know, like the Photoshop class Rose just described, obviously, is about what are the new features in that product and how to get the best out of them. In parallel to that are these other courses like the matte painting one and another one, which is a drawing class, which, well, it's really character design development class, probably the best way to describe it. And again, this one is another one of these more theory-based courses that isn't particularly aimed at one individual product. And Suju Thomas is doing this course out of India, and it is just absolutely brilliant, isn't it, John? I mean, it's just one of the most amazing courses. He's basically able to develop up characters from skeleton to musculature to skinning. He's basically drawing, but it's beyond drawing in the sense that it's a blueprint for 3D. So it's perfect for doing character design, but it's almost like character design based on the backstory of the character. And when it's finished, he's basically giving you something that's, you know, totally set up for being animated in 3D. And in fact, in his drawing class, he'll take some work through to a 3D turntable in Mudbox. And we had a story on Mudbox recently on FX Guide. So another really, really good course, one we're looking forward to a lot. And John, we're also repeating some of your Toxic courses.
Yeah, a couple of the introduction to Toxic, and we're going to have the VPN version as well. A brilliant Flame Expressions class that's going to be repeated from the first term as well.
That is very good class. That's very good class. It is. It's good.
It's a fun class. It was actually a fun class. You know, I'm kind of an expressions freak. Freak is the more appropriate term that I guess I should use. Actually, you know, another thing we should mention that's cool this term is we're going to have a renewed focus in Maya as well. You've been wrangling up a great 3D guy there in Sydney to really take that Maya course and have some fun
with
it this term.
Matt's going to be doing a Maya course. And the whole idea of the 3D is that we've done some 3D courses in the past, but really lifting the game this term and trying to set up a whole new structure for 3D. So we're going to have interrelated courses. So obviously the drawing class is leading to a Mudbox turntable. And of course, next term, the term after the April 07 term, we'll actually hand that over to the 3D guys to animate and texture. But this term we'll be doing stuff both with Gary on mental ray rendering and how to handle mental ray and in Max and stuff, as well as a Max for Compositors Repeat. And then over in Maya, we're going to be doing pretty much rigid body stuff. So it's rigid body dynamics, lighting, animation. And so some of those courses then will then sort of interrelate over the weeks and tie in to connect up to courses that may come in a following term. And we hope that'll build and build and build to a point that we get as much strength in 3D as I think we believe we have already in 2D.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Really looking forward to the term. And just as we're sitting here talking, I think one of the great things, and Tal, you've just been actually traveling around. You've literally traveled around the world from Australia through Europe and to London and so forth, has been this idea of creating this really great online community. I think, I mean, that's been one of the great things about it for me. I mean, I just love the idea that we have students from all these countries.
I mean, yeah, look, I know that there's a great skepticism in a lot of the VFX community about training. And I know that a lot of professional operators look at training as, I don't know, as somehow beneath them or things like that. But what I've been experiencing with people we've met in FX PhD, and it's always been my focus, is we're not sort of setting ourselves up as being the software experts and the, you know, the best Shake, Flame, Toxic, whatever people in the world. What I've always tried to do, and what I think everyone else who's on board has tried to do, is just basically grow the knowledge base and put our skills and our techniques out there, and say, look, this is how we're doing things, and this is, you know, how I've learnt to do something, and this is, you know, a few tricks and techniques, and that's what I've been getting back from a lot of the people I've been meeting, you know, in Spain and in the UK and now in North America, that, you know, they're responding more to the community learning aspect of it. I mean, yeah, we have classes and we have structured tutorials and things like that, but specifically on the forums, a lot of the learning is not just sort of instructor down to student. It's everyone chipping in and sort of creating a peer environment. And I know that you, when you guys set up FX Guide, the reason you set up FX Guide was to be a kind of a hub of knowledge for people in, you know, the compositing world, because there really wasn't anything else in place at the time, other than, you know, a few of the dedicated software lists, which allowed you to do that. And I think it's great how you've kind of extended that mentality to FX PhD. Sure, there is a kind of formalized training aspect to it, but
it's worth noting as well that there's such a sorry to interrupt there, Tal. Take over. It's worth noting that there's, I mean, the people that are in the forums, both in FX Guide and FX PhD, are such varied, you know, from all different backgrounds, and they've got such varied jobs and skill levels that it's not just us contributing our knowledge; it's them contributing their knowledge as well.
Yeah.
So it's this pool of information. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. I mean, there are people asking questions in the forums that, you know, will stump me, but someone else, you know, who has a more technical background or more programming background sort of chimes in and provides that information. And that's kind of the thing that attracted me to FX PhD in the first place, and the thing that's kept me going as the terms progress, is that, you know, it's a unilateral learning experience. It isn't just, you know, like Rose is saying, it isn't one specialization communicating information. It's everyone trying to get together and get their own like problems worked out and increase their knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of community, the idea of having a group that works together has always been central to it. And I mean, that's why we call people postgrads and not students, right? Because our whole idea is to try and have that idea of respect. And if there's one thing that I'd love to emphasize about, you know, the whole thing with PhD, for example, is this idea of sort of professional respect, which I think is also why the signal to noise ratio is so low, wouldn't you say, John, in the forums? I mean, it's just really pretty tight, actually.
It's sad to say, but it's great to say that it's been a year that we've been doing this and we've had no major blow-ups or flame-outs or anything in the online forum. It's just like, that's kind of unheard of, at least in the list that I've been on. Or maybe I'm just on list with a bunch of dicks. I don't know.
I just think the quality of the postgrads is just astounding. I mean, they just are really good people, and they're professionals already normally in the industry and cross-training and trying to take their career to the next level. And it's just reflected, I reckon. I mean, the quality of the people in the postgrad programs is just outstanding. I mean, when you look at those challenges, right? I mean, the work in those challenges, a lot of the stuff is really, really first class. I mean, I'd happily use it in production. So,
yeah, it really is.
It's excellent.
Excellent.
And also, of course, we're coming back with background fundamentals, and background fundamentals will be back in term 4, which is a bit of a fave. And we've got some fun stuff planned there, both tackling things, project, I guess, task by task, everyday tasks that come up and stuff, as well as some onset stuff.
It's a little bit different from the last term, though, where you did a concentration in a lot of the classes on 3D tracking, and it was a great knowledge experience. We had a lot of great interviews, but this term it's going to be a little bit of a different approach, though.
Yeah, I mean, we're, you know, with all these things, it's so, we try things, we get feedback from users, and then we move forward. Like, we have these annual surveys, oh, not annual, every term we have a survey, and a lot of the feedback goes into stuff, and so we kind of looked at taking background fundamentals and having a theme for it, and what we heard was, yeah, that's good, but keep the theme stuff into the courses, and in background fundamentals, try and tackle new things and have, you know, one-off things and production things to do with onset and stuff. So that's what we're doing again this term. It'll be very focused on, like, I think the first one is, you know, is how to poke an eye out. And cool challenges. Oh my God, we've got some great challenges coming up, and we're going to totally revamp the feedback mechanism. So we did a test over the break of doing some feedback, and everyone loved it. So we're going to do a lot more stuff in terms of giving you feedback on your stuff, like actual proper video recorded feedback where we explain what we like or don't like about your shot and how to improve it and moving forward.
That's one thing that I think is awesome, Mike, because I know that in my experience trying to become a better like artist and trying to train myself, one thing that I always wanted was someone to say, look, why does my shot not look as good as someone else's shot? You know, why am I looking at these shots in feature films and they're so much better than mine? And the ability to actually put work in for feedback and get feedback from other artists is just is so, you know, invaluable. And that's, I'm really excited that, you know, we're going to be doing that more with PhD. I think that students are really looking forward to that, and it could work out really fantastically.
So, John, for those interested in FX PhD, where should they go?
Take a visit onto www.fxphd.com for the latest information. But, yeah, check it out. There's a whole listing of courses. You can look at my ugly mug and a little QuickTime introductory tour that I ended up doing to explain some of the more cryptic features, because it's kind of a new thing, new online teaching experience. There's a QuickTime, like a 7-minute video, as well as a FAQ of, you know, frequently asked questions and so forth about the site. So there's a ton of information on FX PhD to check out.
The basic premise is you go to FX PhD and you register. Now, when you look in our forums and you're not a member, they seem really, really small, because the second you become a member, the forums open up because it's members only. There are free versions, full versions of software that you can download and run off a VPN license server, as well as, of course, you'll get classes each week. You get one course which is compulsory, which is the background fundamentals, and then you get three additional courses, which all of which is packaged up for the one price of $300 per term. It is actually possible, if you're a masochist, to buy an additional course, and so that you could take that up to a total of five. But the normal standard is one plus three, or four courses in total. And any of those courses can be sampled in the first couple of weeks. So when you first register and you sign up, and you go, oh, I don't know if After Effects, maybe this matte painting thing, but, you know, I don't know if the matte painting thing is what I want to try or do or whatever, you can actually swap for the first couple of weeks, and you can try both and then see what you like, and then, of course, pick one after the end of that period and settle in for the rest of the term.
Yeah. So, again, the classes begin on April 16th, but you can join, of course, any time during the term as well, and get access to all the back downloads that happen in the classes before you're a member of FX PhD. So, hey, I've got to get some more work done and prep for NAB, man.
Oh, yeah, NAB, it's going to be huge. We're going to be doing daily podcasts for FX Guide, starting with the poolside live recording at the FX Guide cabana at the pool party of Autodesk. So anyone that's going to the Autodesk party at NAB, come and hang out at the cabana. Obviously, it should be fun. I'm looking forward to seeing you there, Tal, in a loincloth and a toga.
Yeah, Mike will be the one with the Julius Caesar-style chaplet of oak leaves around his head and the big goblet full of wine. And the Wacom pen in his other hand, so he'll be easy to spot.
Is it that Bacchus?
What, I don't get a cluster of grapes to eat?
Yeah, Mike will come dressed as Bacchus, and he'll be offering libations to all and sundry.
I really like that Rome series on HBO. I could really go for that. Yeah, so that's all coming up, and we're going to be doing NAB podcasts, as I say, every night. So if you tune in on Monday, you'll hear the Sunday night one. And then for the rest of the week, we'll do the same thing, where we're actually doing roundtable discussions intercut with live recordings of interviews. So, for example, we have exclusive interviews with guys at Apple, Autodesk, Red Camera Team, and we'll intercut those into the roundtable so that you get a view of not only what's coming out, but kind of a look behind the press releases to get artists' impression of how significant they think any of the announcements are, and just some, you know, analysis of what otherwise is being put out there, and that'll be running all of next week.
It's kind of the thing where you're visiting the show floor during the day and you get together with people at the end of the day and just kind of talk about what you saw that was cool, what was good, what was bad. And it's a lot of fun. I think the response we got from our podcast last year was really cool. I was really surprised by the response. So that's why we're going to do this again, 4 days, Monday through Thursday is when the podcast will be on the air, as Mike said.
Excellent. Well, that's about it, I think, isn't it? Other than to say that I have to run off to the... Did I mention that I'm going to the Entourage function tonight?
No, actually, we haven't heard that.
I don't know if I
mentioned
that.
No, we haven't.
There's like
heard
steam.
That.
Really? As Mike knows, there's steam coming out of my head. Regarding
say hello
this.
To Johnny Drama.
Well, you're invited, John. It's just that you decided to hang out with the Australians in Chicago. I mean, you know, what can I say? Did I mention that if we come back early from NAB, we can go to the Sopranos?
I don't believe you mentioned that 100 times.
Interesting.
I'm gonna...
Right, so we'll only be podcasting for Monday and Sunday, and then we'll suddenly be in LA on Tuesday, and then back in Vegas on Wednesday and Thursday. No, I'm just joking. But yeah, there's some Emmy functions, and John was going to come, but he decided he didn't fancy hanging with Ari and the guys.
Bastard.
Bastard.
Exactly. Well, again, thanks for listening to our podcast. Hey, Rosenthal, thanks for hanging out. Thanks for coming to Chicago. It's been fun.
Thank you.
We love Chicago.
And thanks for being part of
PhD as
well,
man. And thanks for being with us for a year.
Yeah.
Oh, look, it's been a blast.
It's a lot of work, and we really appreciate the effort you guys put into it. You've really helped the success of the site, I feel. It's just been fun.
Thanks for wearing the party hats during the podcast, because that was really kind of you guys.
I think it added
birthday
a lot.
Cake and all that kind of stuff.
It added a lot to the whole experience.
I think, like, it did.
Yeah.
I was wearing mine on the inside. Okay. Well, that's it from us for another... This is our 72nd podcast. We'll be returning, as we say, next week with 4 podcasts, so tune into those. They'll be through the normal RSS feed and, of course, through iTunes or on the webpage. Until then, I'm Mike Seymour. On behalf of myself, John, and all of the professors, we want to thank everyone who's participated in FX PhD for the last year. In particular, all of the postgrads who made it such a huge success. It really is an honor to hang with you guys, so thank you so much. And guys, till next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's FX Podcast. Please let us know if you have any suggestions for stories or future podcasts. You can reach us by using the Contact Us links at the top of the homepage. This podcast is copyright 2006 FX Guide LLC. Broadcast or redistribution is prohibited without the expressed written consent of FX Guide LLC.